Jamuna Tira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Om Vishnu Bhagavanta, Bhagavaraja Gacharya, also those seeds with AC, Bhaktivedanta songs of Prabhupada ki jai, Amacharya Haridas Thakur ki jai. Rams ago, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Siddhartha, Gadadharsha, Sri Gaur Bhaktivedanta ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gaur Gopira, Shyama Kunda, Radha Kutta, Giri Govardhan ki jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Namadav Dham ki jai, Ganga Shamuna Tulsi, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Ananda Koti, Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Samaveta, Bhaktivedanta ki jai, Gopremanandi, all glories to assemble devotees, all glories to assemble devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastachade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shwasti Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 11 Chapter 3 Verse 17 Shri Rajo Vacha Yataitam Aishwarim Mayam Dustaram Akritatmabi Tarantyan Jas Dula Dio Maharsha Idam Uchatam. Shri Rajo Vacha, King Nimi said, Yata, how, Eta, this, Aishwarim, of the Supreme Lord, Mayam, material energy, Dustaram, unsurpassable, Akritatnabi, by those who are not self-controlled, Taranti, they may cross over, Anja, easily, Stula Dia, persons whose intelligence is dulled by materialistic attachment. Maharshe, O great sage, Idam, this, Uchatam, please tell.
Translation Kingdom, he said, O great sage, please explain how even a foolish materialist can easily cross over the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord, which is always insurmountable for those who are not self-controlled. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Stula Diya indicates those who ignorantly identify themselves with the gross material body and who are therefore unable to analyze the subtle laws of nature by which the soul transmigrates in illusion. Srila Jiva Goswami comments that Stula Diya also indicates so-called pious persons who execute pompous religious ceremonies for material sense gratification rather than trying to prepare themselves to go back home, back to Godhead, by engaging the loving devotional service of the Lord. According to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, King Nimi was already an advanced devotee of the Lord and therefore knew that one can cross over the illusory energy, Maya, by surrendering to the lotus feet of the Lord and pleasing him by pure devotional service. Therefore, the king was asking the question for the benefit of those who falsely consider themselves very much learned, but in fact are addicted to materialistic food of activities, which increasingly entangle them in illusion. In this regard, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has quoted from the Amarakosh dictionary to show that Akrit Atmavi indicates apurnatvam, or one whose life is empty. Every living being has an eternal relationship with the supreme living being, Krishna. One may love Krishna by thinking of him as one's eternal master, one's most intimate friend, one's beloved child, or the object of one's conjugal attraction. Of course, such ecstasies should never be confused with ordinary material emotions, which are perverted reflections of spiritual rasas or relationships. In the material world, we try to relish these same relationships of servitude, friendship, parental love, and conjugal love, but the object of such feelings is a temporary material body, which is quickly devastated by the laws of nature. These loving feelings should be directed towards the spiritual body of the Supreme Personality, Krishna, who is a reservoir of all beauty and transcendental bliss. One who has not learned the art of directing his love to Krishna is purna, or one whose life is ultimately empty. According to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, one whose life is empty can also be called mundadi, or one whose intelligence is crippled by lack of broad experience. King Nimi, a pure Vaishnava, was so kind that he asked, how can such cripple-minded people cross over Maya in the easiest way possible, since by nature they are very lazy in spiritual matters? Translation, King Nimi said, O great sage, please explain how even a foolish materialist can easily cross over the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord, which is always insurmountable for those who are not self-controlled. So, King Nimi had asked about Maya, and in relation to that, now he asks how to cross over that Maya, because the explanation given was that this Maya is very, very entangling and very, very difficult to get rid of. It's a prison house for the jiva, so it's very difficult to get out of this Maya. So the next question is, is it possible to get out? Or if so, how? And is it difficult? Is it easier? Whatever. So the king assumes you can get out. So he says, how can you get out easily? And not only that, how can the people who are not intelligent, those who are very materialistic, how can they get out easily? So he's asking for a very simple process by which one could get out of the material world, though it looks rather difficult to get out when the description is given. And of course, even scripture says the same thing. It's very difficult to get out of this Maya. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says, Mama Maya Duratya. It is difficult to surpass this Maya. Almost impossible. And for that reason, the jivas throughout the day of Brahma and the life of Brahma travel from one body to another. So the previous verses were about the creation and destruction of the universe. And that universe lasts for 100 years of Brahma. And in that time, the jivas keep getting body after body in the material world. And then they go into Mahavishnu, they come out, and they go into another universe. So it's very difficult for most of the jivas to get out. If it was very easy, there would hardly be any jivas in the material world. But we see it's full of people, full of jivas. So therefore, it is difficult in general to get out of the material world. So we also see that the Lord has provided some processes for getting out of the material world. But some are indirect processes. So one of these indirect processes is karma yoga. It is supplied by the Lord, but it actually doesn't get you out of the material world. It just gives you a better position in the material world. So it's quite indirect. It's not a solution to the problem. He says how you can cross over this maya completely. So you're not really crossing over it by going to Svargaloka. You're still in it. You're just in the better part of it, that's all. So how to get out? So therefore, one has to reject karma yoga or karma kanda as a possibility. So that only leaves the other possibilities, jnana, yoga, and bhakti. We also know that jnana and yoga also very difficult to perform, and therefore very few people take to the processes of jnana or yoga. So how can the stuladiya, those who are very materialistic and not intelligent, how can they take to jnana? Very difficult for them. Only very sattvic people can take to jnana. And even for the people that take to it, who are very qualified but very few, it takes them a long time. So the jnani or the yogi may have to endeavor for thousands and thousands of years to get liberation from the material world. But definitely it's not an easy process. And it's definitely not available for these unqualified people of the material world who have very little intelligence. Not available for them. Nevertheless, we would think that the Lord supplies some help to people who are less intelligent or more materially attached, in spite of the fact that they maybe don't deserve the highest goal because they're in a lower position because of their disinterest in spiritual life. Nevertheless, the Lord should be all merciful to them somehow or other, even to the less qualified people. So with that type of intention, King Nimi is asking this question. The Lord must be merciful, and therefore he must even help these people in the lower position and give them some solution to the problem, in spite of the fact that they don't really deserve anything. So that is why he particularly mentions here the stula dia, people whose stula means very gross or very heavy or whatever. And dia, of course, is intelligence. So it means their intelligence is fully material, no spiritual interest. They think only in terms of material values and material objects. Their logic is based on simple materialism. They can't do anything else. So very, very difficult for these people to advance. Nevertheless, the king is asking for some method by which they can cross over this material world. So we know that there's only one process left, and that is the process of bhakti. And we also know it's for everyone. Women, Vaishya, Sudras, etc. can also do it, besides Vaishya, Kshatriyas, Brahmanas, or whoever. People who are Chandalas can also do bhakti yoga. So therefore, it's available for everyone. Therefore, even this stula diya, those who are in the lowest category, can take advantage of the process of bhakti. Is it easy or not easy? So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says very quickly you can cross over the ocean of samsara through the process of bhakti. So, yes, it is easy and quick as well, and it's for everyone. So this is a characteristic of bhakti, which is not there in jnana or yoga. They are not for everyone, only for very specific people, and they take a long time, very difficult to do. So therefore, the question here, of course, is actually about bhakti. Please describe the process of bhakti yoga, which is easy and for everyone. Of course, bhakti also has qualification. So the qualification is faith. Well, at least one has to have a belief in the Supreme Lord, one supreme entity. And as well as that, then Bhagavatam says one should not be too materially attached. So therefore, if one is very stuladi, therefore the faith is not likely to arise very easily. It will not be strong enough. So, of course, if a person has strong material attachment, has a little faith, then he will have to wait some time. When the faith gets stronger, then his material attachments decrease. Then he becomes qualified for the process of bhakti. So this means that ultimately he can take a part in the process of bhakti, but after his material attachments have decreased to some degree. At the same time, bhakti does not demand that you can have no material desires. They can have them, but they have to be less, much less. So one starts out with a lower qualification because we have material desires, we're performing bhakti, we have faith. But through the process of bhakti, all those desires get extinguished. So therefore, one has to have the faith, plus one has to have some detachment as well. Not complete detachment, but some detachment. Of course, it also says one should not be too detached. Because when we get detached, then we get attracted to jnana and yoga. And then we end up doing them, and we do a difficult process, and it's no longer easy. So therefore, we have to be not too detached also. So that is convenient because bhakti itself does not require complete renunciation. I mentioned the other day that the devotee practices yukta vairagya. He does not renounce objects or his senses or his mind, but he uses them in the service of Krishna, with not for himself. And then they don't give any bad effect, and the senses and mind and the objects, they give a positive effect, and they help bhakti develop. So it doesn't require complete renunciation in the sense of isolating oneself, but we use the objects for Krishna. So this is a much easier process to follow than jnana or yoga, which requires much more renunciation. So the one qualification was the faith. So that faith may appear in someone who's in sattva-gun, and we may say, well, it is better in sattva-gun to have faith than in tamagun. But that's not always the case, because in sattva-gun, though it is good in the sense that one is detached and one has an understanding of Atma, one would be more attracted to impersonal realization or jnana. So then the bhakti gets mixed with jnana very easily. So it's not always the best position. Or one may be very brahminical, and then the bhakti gets mixed with brahminical type of attachment. Attachment to the rituals, etc., like that. Well, then again, that's a negative factor. On the other hand, if one is in tamagun, one has no sense control, one has no knowledge, etc., that's also not good, very bad. But nevertheless, that person can also practice bhakti if he has faith. So faith is the qualification, whether it was in raja, sattva, or tamagun. If the faith is there, that's one's qualification. But again, not too much attachment to the material world, not too much detachment. So even a person in tamagun, if he has to start, then he cannot have too much material attachment. Huh? So in that sense, sattva-guna is more favorable because they're naturally more detached. But then the opposite is they maybe get attached to, maybe too detached, get into jnana instead. So, but that won't be so for the person in tamaguna. He's not going to get too attracted and detached and go into jnana or yoga. Huh? Huh? But his problem is too much material attachment. So, that means that every position in the gunas has some favorable or some unfavorable aspect to it. Nevertheless, if one has the faith and not too much material attachment, then one becomes qualified for the process of bhakti. And through that process, one surpasses all the gunas. Tamogun, Rajogun, and Sattvagun get surpassed by the process of bhakti. If we have too much material attachment, then we'll hold on to those gunas, tamagun, rajagun, sattvagun, and it's very difficult to advance. So that's why we have to have some detachment also. Faith is a qualification, and some detachment is there. So even if a person is in tamagun, then that person also, if they're to seriously practice bhakti, must control the senses and the mind, etc. So they have to follow some rules and regulations. It may be difficult for a person in tamaguna to do so. So that's unfavorable. Let's say tamaguna is unfavorable in that sense. But then we also have read that simply by the chanting of the holy name, then one can immediately become qualified to do the savana sacrifice of a brahmana. Just by simply chanting the holy name. Huh? So the person has destroyed his parabdha karma and is in a very high position because of his just doing a little bhakti. So therefore, not so difficult, even for the person in tamaguna, to control his senses to some minimum degree or whatever. So this makes bhakti the recommended process for everyone because it's easier and it's faster. But the other reason is that it's also complete. Whereas, of course, karma yoga doesn't even get you out of the material world. And jnana and yoga only get you out of the material world, but they don't get you to the spiritual world. So therefore, what is incomplete? No bliss. It's the absence of suffering in the material world, but not bliss. So in this verse it mentions about the different relationships one can establish, different rasas. It is through those rasas that the jiva and Krishna experience bliss. If we get to liberation, there's no recognition of jiva and Supreme Lord being separate. So there is no rasa, and therefore no bliss. So it's only when we recognize Supreme Lord and we recognize ourselves as jiva that we get the rasa and then we get the bliss. Bhakti therefore puts us in the highest position of experiencing bliss in the spiritual world, whereas jnana and yoga don't do that. Therefore, they're considered to be incomplete processes. Therefore, bhakti is not only quicker, easier for everyone, but it is complete and it gives full satisfaction to the jiva. And therefore, it's recommended as the process for everyone. So that's not only Bhagavatam. We'll see the same conclusion in Bhagavad Gita and in other Puranas. However, we do have sections glorifying Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga and Astanga Yoga, even in Bhagavatam. But we understand that this is for people who don't have faith. They don't have faith, let them follow these processes, even though they are indirect and even though they are difficult. Better than nothing. But if they have the faith, then they should follow the process of bhakti and look at the highest result. If they follow the other processes, they must also do it along with a little bhakti, and hopefully later on they will take up the process of bhakti. So, therefore, the other processes are not complete. So in this way, bhakti in any case is the recommended process for everyone. And through that, they get the highest relationship and the highest bliss.
Tatra Sri Srimad Bhagavatam Gita.